Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to A Conversation With. My name is Shelley Hessian. I'm the manager of Incubation and Entrepreneur Programs here at InnovaCorp, and we welcome you to our session today. Before I pass the floor over to Lydia, I wanted to just bring your attention to the flyer that was on your chair. So InnovaCorp delivers the Early Stage Commercialization Fund. So it's a grant of up to $50,000 for researchers to move their technology to market. And it's open for submissions. October 26th is the submission date. Information's on there. Just go to our website. So just a little plug for that. So I'm pleased to get Lydia to come to the floor to introduce our speakers. So welcome.
Thanks, Shelley. It is with great pleasure that I introduce our speakers today, Jean-Francois Parizeau and Amin Ben-Moussa with BDC Health Venture Fund. Jean-Francois has been with BDC since 2001 and has over 17 years of investment and entrepreneurial experience in the life sciences sector. I'll just say that he has invested and managed more than $200 million in biopharmaceutical and medical device companies in North America. And Jean-Francois is also an entrepreneur, having started two companies by himself. Amin has joined BDC in 2011. He brings over 6 years of experience in banking and venture capital. Amin has worked with BMO Financial Group and was part of the investment team at the Solidarity Fund QFL. So as they say, they're here, they have money, and we'll have Jean-Francois give you some more information about the fund, and welcome. Please join me in welcoming Amin and Jean-Francois.
We're doing a site broadcast to Sydney, so during question and answer, you may have voices talking to you from the ceiling.
Hello, Sydney. Can you hear us?
I'd try that.
I'll start by saying that I really, really feel old when people are like reading my bio like this, so please stop doing that, because it just feels awkward. I've been doing venture capital for 15 years plus, but so I would really like to meet with entrepreneurs and share experience and what we're doing. And I kind of prefer a presentation and try to keep it short, because I don't want to bore you with with BDC the BDC corporate language, but I just wanted to keep this as informal as possible and leave as much room for Q&A, because I just feel it's you learn so much more when you keep it informal and let people from the crowd asking questions. So on that. So what we're doing, we kind of changed our investment thesis a couple of years ago. I mean, we were referring ourselves as a life sciences investment firm, and just to follow the trend, everyone's trend, and recognizing that life sciences had a negative connotation, so we decided to switch life science for health. That's also just to follow the trendy IT people guys investing in Apple and Google. So I guess we wanted to follow up the buzz around that. But most importantly, I think we wanted to have we felt that we could have a more meaningful impact on the patient by switching our investment thesis. Because after all, making money is nice, but I think what's great about our job, certainly from my standpoint, is to really have an impact on the patient, to really benefit for our technologies. And we really would like to partner with entrepreneurs that share the same vision. So just a bit of background on BDC Venture Capital, and actually the BDC. So BDC is a quant corp funded by the Canadian government, World Bank. So we do lending. That's actually 80% of our business. And I think we're mostly known for that. And we are a venture capital group. And we invest in high-tech companies in all sectors. 2 years ago, we decided to refocus our investment thesis and have a more focused approach, and we created three funds, although we see fiber, we created three funds, so one in IT, that will only invest in IT and with a dedicated team, one in the clean tech and the energy, and the adventure fund. We also have a fund of fund groups, so which means basically we are investing and private venture firm that we like to set up investing activities in Canada. And actually we were very active in the sector, and actually we're active here and out in Canada, and we should see some announcement soon coming from that group. And finally we have a strategic initiative group, which is basically, you know, any kinds of means to support the entrepreneurs. So extremely active with the NGO networks all across the country, active in setting up incubators, accelerators. So we have a team totally dedicated to doing that. So with all these five groups, we think we can soon complete the venture capital offering and help the entrepreneurs get more funding and have more access to innovation. So if you read about the BDC venture fund and healthcare, so we're managing two funds basically. One is the life sciences fund, so which is a more mature portfolio composed of nine companies, mostly invested. We still have some money to invest in, in some of them to bring them to the finish line. But I think what's more important to you guys is the new fund that we're managing. So we have capital available to do between 10 and 15 deals, but that's might not be a lot number-wise, but we're talking about significant amount of capital. Actually, as I said earlier, around 150 million, which is pretty significant on a Canadian landscape. I mean, there's not a lot of money in this space. We recognize that, and as I said, as we want to make an impact, we feel it's important that we deploy serious amount of capital to support these companies. So we're going to do a bit less investments, but we're going to invest more in them. So again, I think given that the financing environment is so tough out there, I think that the companies that we want to bring in our portfolio want to make sure that they're going to succeed and that they're going to have enough capital to be very successful. And that's what we're doing right now. So we're extremely active. Again, number-wise, it might not seem very impressive, but trust me, we're one, if not the most active healthcare investor in the country. So we closed, over a year now, 4 years, and we're actively looking at bringing more on our books. So now healthcare. I think it's a very hard question, but very easy answer. I mean, it's a huge problem right now. I mean, every time you read and the papers every week, I mean, you see that the system is going bankrupt, and with the aging of the population, there's enormous pressure to try to cut costs and try to fix the system. So it's just becoming unsustainable, and we see that. I mean, so you see that in Atlantic Canada, but in every week now, and with the new government in Montreal, God bless us, it's at the very forefront of the pulse, and they just have this huge problem about the rising costs. So there are only two things we can do. So we can either lower the costs, which we believe is stupid, or bring new innovation. medication that will have an impact on the patient. And we are a believer of that. We really believe that innovation will, you know, really fix at least part of the problem. The other way we can look at it is to stay healthy. Every one of us are trying to do that, but as we're getting older, it's not easier. So put a lot of time in trying to figure out what's our mission, and really it's, you know, we need to partner with entrepreneurs like you, and, you know, believe in their same values, and, you know, try to have as much of an impact possible on patient outcome, and reducing the overall cost, which we're still working on the mission, but I mean, I guess the point here is when we put all the out here is we need to bring innovation into the mix. And you know, we think that our new technology that could have an impact, although it might be a bit more expensive to adopt, by having a bigger impact, will definitely lower that cost overall into the system. So what are we looking for when we go scouting, and meet with companies? So we're trying to look at companies that we think will have the biggest impact on what I said. So I think for us, any companies that will have a prevention angle would be of very high interest to us. Any kind of active monitoring, I mean, it's actually more true in a remote location. I mean, you know, there's a lot of patients out there that need to go spend a lot of time trying to go into centers for no real reason, and extremely costly for the system. So any means to trying to look at that is of big interest to us. Diagnostic, and certainly imaging is one very important part of that. Is extremely of interest to us as well. So I mean, any means that could have an earlier detection on any kind of disease, you know, we think would have a bigger impact. Anything that's more precise as well is of interest to us. When we're talking about treatment, we're looking at all the hospital system across the country, and you know, certainly personalized medicine is something that is getting big. We're hearing more and more about that in the United States, but certainly it's coming here in Canada, so we see that, which is less invasive as well. So we think that outpatient procedure is the way to go, and certainly any kinds of technologies that address that will certainly be very successful. Disease management. So when we're talking about that, we're less looking at a new cancer treatment, but more than new means to try new technologies that will, I guess, help into the disease management. Cancer is one example. One other example is diabetes, which is an example I like. So instead of developing a blood lowering glucose med, which there's so many out there right now already. I mean, so why not, putting some app with some diets and social network and to help this kind of patient population. We see a trend towards that, and we're looking at a lot of companies developing stuff like that. I think that's important to us also is we recognize that people are more informed. They want to take their own health in their hands, and everyone is looking at every time they ask something, I mean, they're going to go in front of a computer, they're going to Google it, trying to find out what they have, and that's a big change that we saw happening over the past 10 years. I mean, my mom, we had cancer, and 10 years ago would have believed her doctors without asking any question, but I mean, she was on Google all the time trying to understand, and she came up with a stack of paper talking to the doctors and really trying to understand what was going on. I mean, so there are big changes right now happening, and the only way we're treating patients. So again, we saw a lot of opportunities in that, and we feel that the patient wants to be, as I said, wants to be more active in the way they're being treated. And again, we're seeing a lot of apps being developed towards that. So as I said, the system is changing a lot, and we're betting on that. We're seeing very big moves in the United States, but it's certainly coming in Canada. So I think that the big centers that we're still building, we think a couple of years from now, and it will just be useless. So I think we're going to see the emergence of a small community centers with being more equipped and you know, be able to address more the problems of the patient. So, I mean, that's what we're looking at, but more specifically, I mean, what exactly we're looking at when we want to invest in a company. So, this is an early stage investor. So, come to see us, you know, when you have an idea. Don't need to have a business plan. We'll help you, you know, write the business thesis. We would like to be involved early on into the life cycle of the company. We like to be the first institutional investor. Why? Well, for a couple of reasons. I think we want to have significant commitment from you, but also from us. We want to have an higher ownership. And for that, I mean, we're not looking at a minimum amount of money. So we could invest anywhere between $500,000 and up to $5 million in a company. But it's important that we have a very high position, a very ownership of the company right from the get-go. And we'll invest, as I said, a lot of money to support you guys. So up to $20 million. That's per investment. And that's a big change for us because, you know, as a bank, we're getting a yearly allocation on how we could deploy our money. So it was kind of hard to predict the amount of money we had any given year to the investment. But now we have a closed-end allocation. So right from the get-go, we know exactly how much we can allocate to a company depending on the business model and the like. We like to lead our colleagues. So, I mean, we have a great network of venture capitalists working with us, and we're friends with almost all of them. But we like to work in partnership with them, so we will not take a minority position when we invest. And I think what's most important is the last point. So we want to invest in Canadian innovation. So, I mean, we're seeing more and more U.S. companies, U.S. entrepreneurs that have a problem raising money in the States and want to move into the country because they think it's easier to get finance here. Well, first of all, it's not. And second of all, we don't believe in this business model. I mean, we think, one, that there's great research here, there's great innovation, and we need to support them. So, and we want to be part of that. We're based in all the major centers and regions. Unfortunately, we don't have an office here in venture capital anymore. I think it's a shame. But we're not shy to take the plane and come to visit. And we should do that more often. We need to be more active here in the region. But we're looking at everywhere in the country and scouting for deals, not looking in. Obviously, there's some great pockets of innovation in bigger cities, but actually, our most successful companies are coming from remote location, and we're very proud of that. And we're technology agnostic, so I mean, we're really looking at what is the problem and what problem is there we need to fix, and we're going to go scout and get the best technology. So we're trying to fade away from what about, you know, investing in X amount of money in drug discovery versus medical device or IT. I mean, let's try to understand what are the biggest problems in the system and try to fix it. And actually, for regarding that, we've been scouting the country and visiting with all the major hospitals, and we're still taking a meeting and trying to learn more of what are the biggest pain points into the system and trying to fix it and trying to invest and partner with them to, you know, trying to have an impact on the patient. So putting more money and investing in fewer companies, personally I think it's great, because I do have the benefit to spending more time with the entrepreneurs. I have an entrepreneurial background, as you said earlier, so I like to work closer with them, and it's true for all of my colleagues. So we're going to have, you know, between 5 and 6 companies, and that will be at the top of the investment cycle. So I mean, we like to be involved on boards, we like to be involved on the executive committee, and for that to be able to do a better job, we just cannot take as many companies on our books. So as I said, I think it's important, and you know, investing is kind of the easy part when we do the investment, and but I mean, you know, creating value is so hard, and creating a good exit. So we want to be working closer with our companies. We're looking at companies that and entrepreneurs that share the same vision as us on the capital efficiency. So it's not because you raise $20 million that you have to be have to spend your money foolishly. So you have to make a good decision. Go-no-go points where we can, you know, continue or not to fund the company. But we're also looking at the entrepreneurs that have, you know, the same viewpoint and are not afraid to kill a project or to kill a company if we're not able to prove some kind of point. Because at the end of the day, and you know, if we're just spending the money, I mean, we will not create any value. As I said before, we're spending a lot of time right now to understand the healthcare ecosystem, and just want to refer you to the lower right side of this graph, where, you know, as I said earlier, I mean, we're spending a lot of time talking with the C-level suite of the hospital, just and the nurses, and the practitioners and the remote communities, you know, trying to understand, you know, what's on the top of their mind when they meet with the patient and when they want to treat their population. So we're spending a lot of time there trying to understand that. And obviously we're, you know, after having a better understanding of what's going on, obviously we're meeting with everyone involved in the ecosystem, especially academia, to see and find out if there are technologies that could be spun off from these centers. And then we build the companies and, you know, trying to find the fundings for them. That's all I have. I mean, again, I wanted to keep it as short as possible. I'd love to take any questions from the floor, and you know, try to, so we could each learn more about what we're doing. Thanks.
I guess I'll start. Is there, can you apply anytime, phone you up, and then...
Absolutely.
So did you guys provide your contact information?
No, you have to find them, though. No, I'll make sure to send our contact info. No, absolutely. I mean, you know, we're going to make 10 to 15 investments, so it's not a lot. I mean, we're seeing 300 plus companies per year, and we're going to make, you know, three new investments. So we take a lot of meetings, but we do not fund a lot of companies. But we like to learn more about what you're doing. So unlike other people, we spend the time trying trying to learn more about what you're doing, and if we can give you feedback, provide you feedback, or connect you with someone we know, and sure we're going to take the time to do it. So absolutely don't be afraid to call either one of us. I'm going to make sure also to give you the names of the minor colleagues across the country.
I mean, just to add on to that, the door is never closed. A few days ago, we met a company, we met like 6-9 months ago, they just had an idea, and it was not a problem to meet with them again, and they have advanced a lot. So meeting a company once doesn't mean if their project is not ready, we're not going to be accepting a meeting a few months later if they progress.
I've got a microphone here, I'll get you to.
Hi, I have a question. Are there any other criteria with regard to, you know, beside value creation, any other criteria when it comes to investing in a company, especially in the pharmaceutical industry? When I say value creation, it's sometimes if you have a company, okay, that has a more lucrative market, that company may want to just go out there and sell to the other market, where especially, let's say, the U.S., where you have a price cap. So is there any criteria where you have to say to that company, you have a minimum level of sales to execute in Canada in order to feed the market, especially in the pharmaceutical industry, where you have to, you know, to avoid any shortages?
You want to take this one?
I'll try. Correct me if maybe I didn't get the question correctly, but if I understand correctly, we're a venture capital fund. The nature of the business makes it so hard that if you don't have a very quick and exponential uptake in our business, we invest in 10 companies. I mean, we review 300 companies to make maybe 3 investments, and out of 10 investments, maybe one will be a big star or two will be so-so companies, and maybe we'll recover part of our capital, and a few of them will be big losers, will simply write off the investment. So if there is not a huge uptake, it's very hard for us. So and my understanding is, if the market is not that big, this is not, I mean, we look at high margins, very high growth businesses.
Right, value creation. But beside that, is there any strategic requirement from the government, since you are, you know, a crown company, where the government can actually say, you know what, we're going to give, because this is taxpayers' money anyway, we have some kind of minimum requirement for that company to keep on producing for Canada before going, especially for some products like, you know, especially for with regards to the pharmaceutical industry.
So, you know, we have the Canadian as our unique shareholder, but we're at arm length with the government. So our only requirement is to invest in Canadian entrepreneurs, Canadian companies. So after that, you know, looking at any given investment, we're applying, you know, typical venture capital criteria to invest. So it's all about profit and return on capital. But having said that, you know, every company, every business model is different. So it's kind of hard to give you a generic answer to your question. But you know, to add to what Amin said earlier, I mean, so we're looking at high margin business, high growth business. So for us, you know, the bar is extremely high when we look at a new opportunity, making sure that, you know, this company will be, when it will hit the market, will be extremely profitable. Hope I answered the question.
Yeah. So it's in the
valuation. Yeah.
Peter Murray, Genoma Corp. I've seen one of your slides where you had some involvement with some incubators in there. Is that an investment that you have made in some of the companies that are in those incubators, or what's your involvement in those particular individuals?
It's mostly about outreach.
Yeah, it's more than that, right? It's an outreach side. It's not even, you know, I mean, I think the point that I was trying to make is where, you know, we want to be working closer with everyone in the healthcare ecosystem. Some of them might have provided some money through our strategic initiative unit. Some of them, as you said, have companies that we've invested in. So, but then we want to make sure that we connect with everyone.
If we get your permission, that way, because we're more than happy to do that.
Yeah. Tomorrow we'll be a bit of that.
What would be the top two or three things that people should have or tips when they come to see you?
I was looking for that question. I have no clue. Just make sure that you're prepared. Make sure that we understand it's most of the time we're dealing with early stage companies, with even companies that are not being formed, and we have an entrepreneur that has an idea they want to test. Having said that, you still have to be prepared. I mean, not knowing the answer is okay, but just throwing everything and without checking the facts is a huge, huge mistake. And for me, the answer I think the most one, and I always ask the question, so what's your competition? And people say, well, there's none. Well, there's a good chance there's someone out there doing pretty much the same thing. So what's your edge? And we want to understand what's your edge. We want to understand what problem you're trying to solve. There's so many offerings right now. Put yourself in the shoes of the ultimate client, the doctors, the patients. So, what problem are you trying to resolve? And why are you better than the others? That the gazillion other modalities, technologies that are out there. What's your edge? And that's something we want to find out pretty early. And I think if the entrepreneur has not started to do that, at the very, very beginning of this adventure, I think it's going to be facing huge problems.
We have a question from Sydney. So, Corinne, did you want to ask it?
Hi there. Thank you for the great presentation. My name is Corinne McIsaac, and I have a couple of questions for you. How early stage is early stage, if that makes sense, is one question. And the other question is, if you're traveling around with other healthcare professionals, what is your opinion on the readiness of the market to truly look at outcome measurement and really look at patient outcomes? We actually have an application that we're using. Actually, one of your slides I sent to your colleague here, I think you stole their tagline, but really, we sell an application that improves patient outcomes and saves money. Our experience is people are, sort of not ready there yet. So, two questions. How early is early stage, and what's your opinion on the outcome measurement? How do people really see outcome measurement in your experience?
On your second question, we could be discussing for hours and hours, but I'm going to try to keep it short. So on the patient outcome thing, I have to say it's not coming from me or from my team. It's, we're all the big fans of Porter's and Porter and Christensen, so we have to thank them for that. To be very blunt, I think the market is not really, certainly in Canada, about looking at patient outcome, and it's a huge concern of ours. When we invest in companies...
I think you're making such a great point, and I'm glad to hear it coming from you. We seem to be just a little bit ahead of the game in the full analytics and outcome measurements. Some customers get it immediately, but other customers customers still just want to count how many there are, you know, how many people have diabetes instead of really looking at whether interventions make a difference. So it's nice to hear you're sort of seeing that in your travels. No, it's not nice to see. It's validating.
No, it's very unfortunate, actually. We're making a presentation across the country and trying to hit on the, yes, on the right people and the right decision makers to try to change that. But as you know, it will take years and years. So. But it is a true problem. So someone will have to wake up at a higher level and recognizes that. Well, everyone does, but I think no one
is at the early stage. No comments on that one?
Absolutely. So there's no generic answer to that. I mean, every company is different. I mean, we just closed a deal that we didn't disclose it. I mean, it was a company that had only one entrepreneur, no business plan, no product, no nothing, just an idea. And we decided to fund them. That is just a great idea, and we think we're going to make a lot of money with it. But I mean, that's really, really early stage from our standpoint. Again, it depends. I mean, we always like to see some kind of proof of concept, early proof of concept, whether it's a software or first software would be some kind of beta. And a medical device, pretty much the same thing. But again, I think there is no generic answer. And I'd say come see us, we'll discuss, and we'll tell you right up front if it's too early for us or not.
Okay, question here at the back.
Up on your slide there, you have associations with incubators. You know, Mars is one of them. And yet your business acumen would lead you to suggest that you can jump to early stage without going through the incubator model. What is it that you have that allows you to identify such business potential earlier than the traditional incubator model?
Well, we work in collaboration with incubators. We claim that they don't see everything. Some entrepreneurs are not comfortable talking with one institution over the other. So I mean, it depends. When I came in, we're seeing everything as well. So, but I mean, we're out in the field trying to meet as many people as possible. And I think the objective we want to achieve in the next couple of years is to making sure that the entrepreneurs think of us when they have this great idea to have an impact on that will have an impact on patient outcome. But that's for us to really hit the ground and meet as many people as possible. I mean, our team will spend no time at the office. I mean, we're with the entrepreneurs, we are with our companies, and we're meeting with people. I mean, that's basically our job. And we have to be better. We have to be a lot better at that, even though, I mean, we think we're pretty well connected on the market, but I think we need to make sure we see everything. We're not there yet. I wish we were.
Hi, Jean-François. Thanks for coming down. It's good to see you guys down here. I've had experience with BDC before, but in Ontario, where BDC seemed to be involved in almost every transaction that was going on. And here, when I came back to Nova Scotia, it seemed that there was only loans, but no equity. So it's really nice to see you here. Thanks very much. A little question on process. One is, how long does a process typically take, say, for an investment to conclude from start to finish? Secondly, you indicate that you do both follow-on, okay, or as part of a consortium, and that you also lead. How often do you actually lead projects or lead the financing and put the syndicate together?
Okay. Two great questions. So I'm going to be honest on the first one, being blunt, it takes a long time, and I know you lived it, so I won't tell you any lies. I mean, we're seeing a lot of things. As I said, we don't have we have some pressure to deploy the capital, obviously, but before we pull the trigger on a deal, we want to make sure that we know as much as we can on the opportunity, on the petition, on market, on technology, on the entrepreneurs, and it is a very lengthy process. Sometimes I wish we would be faster, but it is just long. And the bigger the financing, the bigger syndicate you have to make sure everyone is aligned and everything. It's even longer. So, and again, every deal is different, so that's what I was trying to say. So it could take anywhere from 3 months to a year. But honestly, most of the time it's more towards 1 year. From first meeting to due diligence and term sheet and negotiation of legal agreements. But I see you laughing, but you have lots of experience in that. And what was your second question?
How often do you
have? Again, the Mr. BBC was more a follower, and when I was dropped a couple of years ago at BBC, I mean, that was one of my mandate to change that, and it is a big organization, but certainly with this transition and to the funds that I explained earlier on, we want to take a more of a lead position. And actually, we were in a situation recently where it was expected of us that we would just put the money and stay silent, and we just said no, and everyone was shocked. So now we like to lead in coding now, so we're going to take between 30% and 100% of the loan.
That's a big change.
Yeah.
That's a big change.
Of all the changes we've been through at the bank, this is the one I'm the most excited about, because we have more opportunities to influence and have a bigger impact on the companies.
Yeah, right. Thank you.
Any other questions?
One more question.
When you invest in a company, what is the most common form of investment? Debt instrument or shares?
Shares.
Preferred
shares.
Okay, and what is the most common exit strategy?
When I started the business, it was either being public or being acquired or being bought back by management. In 2011, it's strategic acquisition. I mean, we are, unfortunately, because the going public is not really an option for companies anymore, we just build them to being acquired. That's the most common exit for us.
Thank you very much. That brings us to the end of this session. Thank you, Jean-François and Amin, and thank you all for coming. Please join me in giving a round of applause for our guests.